What is up, everybody? Welcome to Living Word Church Podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we believe you'll be encouraged by today's message.
All right, listen, I want you, because I don't know what kind of notes you got today, but we're finishing up the book of John. And but one of the things that we wanted to do was kind of do a little mini series within the finality of this series that we've been in. And that is, we want to do a little mini series over the next few weeks on the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, one of the things that we're passionate about, we love, of course, Jesus and the gospel, but you can't separate Jesus and the gospel without the help of the Holy Spirit. And he is not just a third God. He is God, and he is the God person who is present with us today helping us. And so we need to be aware of some things about the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's going to help us, going to encourage us, going to heighten our awareness and our faith. And when that happens, you begin to experience more about the things that you begin to believe for and focus on. You begin to see it happening in your life. And so I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there because I'll forget in a little bit. But we got these books, Holy Spirit Today. And a lot of the information that we'll cover the next 3 weeks is in here. And so you can take one of these back with you, kind of fill in the cracks on things that we miss. And so, but today we're going to talk about who Jesus said he is. I think the greatest place to start in any subject is, what did Jesus say? And so, you know, there's the Holy Spirit. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, there's some misunderstanding. There's some misinformation. Let me say it that way. There's some people that are uninformed, right? And then there's people that, you know, are misinformed. And then there's the informed. There's people that have an understanding or a grasp of who he is. And so we're hoping to clear that up a little bit. And so today we're going to talk about who he is and who Jesus says that he is and kind of the role that he plays in our life. Next week, we're going to talk about this. We use this language because I think that's what people kind of understand, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about this experience that God wants us to have. But believe it or not, it's not a one-time moment. It's not the means to an end. It's not the pinnacle of our spiritual life. There is meant to be a continual filling of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we're going to talk more about that next week. And then the last week, get ready, because it's going to be a really good one. We're going to talk about tongues. Yeah, excited about it. Excited about it. Listen. Some of y'all start sweating right there. And I told the Mandy campus last week, I was like, and we're all going to practice it together. And so that ought to fill the house, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But we're going to clear some things up because there are some things that people believe through upbringing and through different experiences. And so we're going to just teach God's word. We're going to share God's word. And I promise you, we're going to do it in a non-weird way and help you understand more about the gifts of the Spirit. And so I want you, if you would, I want you to turn your Bible somewhere today. I want you to go somewhere with me because I want you to see this. I want you to go to Acts chapter 8. And I was kind of unsure if I was going to start here this morning or not, but I think we will. Acts chapter 8. And we're gonna just read through verse 14. But I want to kind of set up the story for you, and you can go back and read it. But, you know, one of the things that happened whenever the church was born in the book of Acts, right? It's the early church. It's our ability to go back and read history of what God did in the body of Christ. You know, when it comes to theology, when it comes to what we believe, our belief system, there's some things that you got to understand. There's some questions that you got to ask about what you believe. And one of the questions that we should always filter our belief system through is can we see it in the early church? Is it something that we saw play out in the lives of those that actually showed us a pattern of what God was doing in the church of Jesus Christ? Another thing that you should always ask is, did Jesus talk about it? Right? And so we're going to actually look at two of those things today. We're going to see Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, but we're also going to see in this description of the history of the early church, this happened probably about 8-9 years after what we call the Day of Pentecost, which we'll explain more about that next week. But I want you to see that God was doing something, but I want you to see that there is more, that there is more that God wants for us as believers. And salvation is incredible and nothing takes away, but there is something complementary to our life as believers, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I like to say it like this, that salvation is God's gift to the world, but the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. And when you become a believer, there are still things that he wants to give and deposit into our lives as we live for him, because we need his help. And we're going to talk about that today. In the chapter 8 of Acts, we see a man named Philip who was an evangelist who went to a city called Samaria. And he had revival services. He had like camp meeting, right? And he was preaching, and you go read it, miracles were happening. Demons were being cast out of people. People were being healed. Like the power of God was moving, and he was preaching about Jesus, right? Right on the heels of the resurrection of Jesus, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church is born. Philip's excited, and he's teaching about all these things. And then in the middle of that, God's moving in the hearts of people. He goes back to Jerusalem and he tells what we would call the Jerusalem Council or the apostles. He goes and he tells them all that God was doing. He's given a report, right, of what God did in Samaria. And so whenever they heard that, we're going to pick up right here in verse 14. It says, "Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them. But they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." And one of the things I like to point out here is that it is very clear that there was something still needed in their life. So much so that, you know, Casey and I are going to Bulgaria to preach and to minister, you know, all the way in another nation, because we feel like God is sending us there to deposit something, but also believe that there's going to be some things that happen in our life. But how many of you know that missions is about going where God calls you to go, right? There's a reason. When Philip comes back and he tells the apostles, Peter and John are stirred in their heart. We need to go. Like, they've been saved. That's incredible. They heard the word. They believed. But there's something else that God wants to do in their life, right? So we can see real clear that you can be born again and even experience the power of God moving in our life. And it doesn't make you a less than or more than Christian. I really want us to wrap our mind around this. It's just that God's got some great things for all of us. And there's some things that we need help with. You don't have to live in this world long enough as an adult. You don't have to adult long enough in this world to know that there's some things that my own ability just can't do, even for the things of God. I need the help of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need his help with my family. I need his help, right, raising teenagers. Come on, I got some great ones, but I still need a little help, right? Need a little instruction, need a little guide. I need some help in my marriage. I need some help in my physical body. I have such care and compassion for people as a pastor and as believers. We come across coworkers and people all the time. We're like, man, Lord, I wish somehow things could change. And we get to a place where our own ability stops and we need some God ability to take over. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. That's what he wants to do in our life as a believer. And so, listen, the first gift that we receive of salvation, it really is about us. It is a change that takes place in our lives, and it is about our eternal security. The second gift of the Holy Spirit that begins to be poured out in our life, it's not just about our eternal security, but it's about others' eternal security. Come on, it is the power to be a witness. It is the person that works in my life that is not just about me and about what God, you know, we have a consumer society, right? And as believers in our American culture, we believe the gospel many times is about us. And thank God he loves you and I personally. And there is a lot about you and I wrapped up in the good news of Jesus Christ. But how many of you know, as a believer, there's work to do. There's some things that he wants us to do to move outside of just this little world I live in, excuse me, and touch others around me. And so what did Jesus say? We're going to read through just the Gospel of John. Okay, we're going to read through just these last few hours that he spends with his disciples. All right, John 13 to 17 is about a 24 to 36 hour period that we see just expanded on the timeline that we get to look into and just really see these conversations that Jesus is having. You know, these are these last minute conversations. Casey and I were getting ready to leave, and how many of you know I'm going to have some last-minute conversations with my kids, right? Hey, look at me in my eyes, right? Feed the dog, right? It's really important, right? How many of you know we've been telling them a lot of things and giving them a lot of instruction, but right before we're getting ready to leave, I'm going to sit them down, all right, look in my face, right? Feed Brady, right? No, I'm just kidding. He takes care of himself. But Casey and I, we're going to be really trying to focus on, here's what I really want you to know before we go. I got to remind you. And so we get to peer in and see these words of Jesus. And he's like, all right, I want you to look at me in my eyes, right? I want you to hear these words that I'm getting ready to tell you, because it's really, really important. In John 14:15, he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. John 14:25-26, the things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. John 15:26, but when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. John 16:6, but because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He says, look in my eyes. Focus on this. It is to your advantage that I go. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. John 16:12. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to tell you. He's going to guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. We see this word in here a lot, and we're going to focus on this for the first part of this, and it's this word, helper. Helper. All right, and so the Greek word for the word helper is parakletos. Okay, parakletos, all right? And what that means, it means to come alongside. It means to come and partner with you and with I in our work with the Lord. It means to be a partner in what God's called us to do, all right? And so, but it's interesting because when Jesus, he says a couple of key things here. The first thing that Jesus says, he says, is there's going to be another helper. Now that word another, it implies that there was already one. So what Jesus was really saying to those disciples, he says, just like I've been present in helping you, I'm going to send another helper that's going to be just like me. He's going to actually come and he's going to help you do what I did. And that's minister to people. Now, I know that seems so far reaching. Maybe for some of us, we're like, you know, I don't understand how it would be better. I mean, Jesus said it's actually better that I leave. It's to your advantage that I'm out of here and that the helper, the other helper, the one that's going to be just like me. But here's the deal. Instead of him just resting on me, instead of him just operating through me, what's going to happen is he's getting ready to pour out, like Joel said, on all flesh. And it's going to be on women. It's going to be on men. It's going to be on servants. It's going to be on masters. It's going to be on all flesh. Those who will yield and surrender, those who will be believers and believe in Jesus, there's more that I want to give them. And it's an outpouring of my Holy Spirit, that other helper. He's going to come and he's going to actually be in you and on you to help you be like me. It's the only way that it would ever be to the advantage of our world for Jesus to leave, right, in reference to the Holy Spirit. And what he was really saying is that ministry is getting ready to multiply, right? You don't have to get on Delta Airlines and fly to Jerusalem today. Aren't you glad? Right? The line would be insane. We don't even like waiting in McDonald's line, right? We would be frustrated, right? You would never be. It would take years to get on the waiting list to go and sit and be present with a man named Jesus who has the fullness of the Holy Spirit in his life. And so Jesus is setting things up. He's saying, I'm leaving and I know sorrow's filled your heart. I know you're thinking this is a disadvantage that Jesus is gone, but I want you to know that you're moving into a place where there's going to be an advantage in your life. And that advantage is the helper of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that kind of gives you some insight that as a believer, there's potential in my life for ministry that's greater than my own ability. That, you know, we read about things that are very supernatural, very heavenly, very Jesus-like miracles and ministry and freedom and deliverance and healing. And sometimes we think, well, that's, you know, that's for the holy ones. That's just for Jesus. That's just to read about. I'm hoping that there's something that'll stir in our hearts that says, you know, well, maybe there's potential for the Holy Spirit because it's not about me. It's not about my ability. Matter of fact, what qualifies me for the help of the helper is that I need help. that there's weakness in my life, that there's some kind of lack or deficiency, that I just don't have the ability to do the things that God's called me to do. I feel very insufficient in lots of conversations. I don't know the words to say. I don't know the prayer to say. I don't know all of the things that to help this get better. But aren't you glad that Jesus does, and that the Holy Spirit does, and that He has come to be a blessing to you and to I, to help us in every situation, the big things and the small things. Matter of fact, I find that He just shows up in the small things kind of uninvited. He just kind of shows up and begins to speak and begins to nudge and begins to help in some ways. I'm like, you care that much about that little thing? But He loves everything about our life, and He wants to help us in every way, in every arena, the big and the small. You know, we get words like parachute from this word, right? That ought to tell you something, right? When is a parachute activated? When you jump? She says, never. That's for a lot of us. Amen. Hopefully never. Can you pray that over Casey and I real quick? When we praying that the parachute does not need to open, right? But how many of you know that if you wanted to activate a parachute, right, when does it happen? When you leave the plane. Right? When you jump, there has to be some type of demand to put on the ability. There's a lot of people that want the Holy Spirit, but they put no demand. Where are you, Lord? Where are you? I really want you. And we love it whenever there's crisis to cry out. But how many of you know He wants us to live a life dependent upon Him every single day? Holy Spirit, today, every day, the Holy Spirit wants to show up and be a helper in my life and in my family. And I want to encourage you to begin to jump off of ledges before you jump out of planes. Begin to practice your walk with the Holy Spirit and just try, you know, this little bit of a jump right here before we get into a place. Like, we can begin to practice the leading and the help of the Holy Spirit in our life, and you'd be amazed at what begins to grow and to happen. Right? We get words like paramedic. Right? We get words like para. You know, I love in our church family, we've got some individuals that serve special needs kids, and they serve and take care of kids at our school that, you know what, they're not there to do the work for them. They're there to come alongside and help them with their work. Come on, Mr. Pate. You know what I mean? And that's what the Holy Spirit is not there to take over. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force you. He's not going to bully you. He's not going to show up and force His way into our life. There is a surrender and a yielding and a faith walk that we allow Him to come in. But it also is going to have to be some demand that we put on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have to be willing to step into some situations in my life that are uncomfortable, that are insufficient, and that are lacking in some ways, and allow the wind of God to fill the parachute and just trust He's got me. And then I'm going to say something one day and be like, where'd that come from? Man, I didn't even know I had that in there, right? I've had people come up to me after a message before and they say, what you said about this, man, it changed my life. And I'm like, I don't think that was even in my notes. I wasn't even talking about that, right? What is that? That's the help of the Holy Spirit that comes in gatherings like this. And whatever it is that you need to hear, it's amazing how He can help whenever, however He wants to, as long as we put a demand on Him. Amen? So, you know, one of the things that I kind of got a revelation of, and just a way to communicate a little bit more about His help in our life is I was eating Cane's chicken one day, and I just had this epiphany about Cane's chicken. And I don't know if anybody like Cane's chicken? A few of you. All right, so let me rephrase that. Do you like Cane's chicken or do you like Cane's sauce? I just see something just triggered. Something just happened, right? I mean, come on. It's a whole franchise that has been built around chicken fingers. Now, that you can put it in bread and call it a chicken sandwich. It's the same tender, right? Their menu's pretty short, right? You just pull up and it's there's not a whole lot that you can choose from. It's either two tenders, three tenders, four, six, or tenders in a piece of bread. That's about it. You can get fries with it. But what makes Cane's different? It's the sauce. It's all about the sauce, right? Because Not only do you dip the chicken in the sauce, but you dip the bread in the sauce. You dip the fries in the sauce, right? You get your pinky and you lick the rest of the sauce, right? If you're home alone, ain't nobody watching, right? You might do a little bit more to get all the sauce you can get out of that. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit in our life is the sauce. Like Christianity and living for God without the help, you're just a chicken tender. I mean, it's good, but it ain't saucy. And when you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life, people are like, there's something different about you. Like, I've met a lot of Christians, I've been in church a lot, but there's just something different. I like to say people come in sometimes to this house and they, you know, they experience what I know is the Holy Spirit in this house because we bathe it in prayer. We have an expectation that, Lord, you're going to do some things that only you can do. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come on, to be a part of what we do because we need some sauce in the house. If not, we come in chicken tenders and we go out chicken tenders. I want you to come out saucy. I want you to come out of LWC and out of encounters with the Lord. I want people to come into your life and go, man, what is different? It's the sauce. It's the Holy Spirit. He's helping me. He's guiding me. He's bathing me in himself, saturating me. And therefore, whenever I even open my mouth or I do the things he's called me to do, it's saucy. Amen. And then people start lining up. I mean, when we talk about another helper and we talk about Jesus, people lined up. People needed a Savior. Now, we're not the Savior, but Jesus has empowered us with the same Holy Spirit that while he was here ministering to people, right, he was pouring out sauce and people couldn't get enough. They were like, man, he's multiplying bread and fish. He's healing people. Demons are being cast out. Like, we don't like talking about some of the supernatural stuff. And there are theologies and thinking out there. And I'm not going to try to defend or argue or any of that. I'm just going to tell you, a person with a theory or a theology is at the mercy of a person with an experience. And I'm telling you, I have experienced too much of the power of the Lord in our lives and ministry all over the world to not be a believer in the need and the power of the supernatural Holy Spirit of God in our life. Yeah. Amen? Amen. And so we see, I made reference to this, but I want you to see Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I want you to write that down. I want you to go back and look at that. They say that that one verse can wrap up the ministry of Christ in just one statement. You say, well, what was the ministry of Christ about? Right here, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. So we read over that and we think, well, how did Jesus was the Son of God? That's how he did what he did. No, Jesus was 100% God, but he was 100% man. Because he was 100% man, he needed 100% of the Holy Spirit in his life to do what God called him to do. He was showing us a pattern even in our life. See, this whole conversation in this upper room with these disciples makes a lot of sense when he's saying, look, you need to wait. You need the help. Why was Jesus saying that? Because he'd experienced it. Jesus said, my ministry is Acts 10:38 ministry. I've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. Say, well, where did that happen? It happened in Luke chapter 4 as he described the Holy Spirit anointing him for ministry. But you remember when he was water baptized, it says that he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit came upon him. Have you know the ministry of Christ for a reason and very intentional in God's word? We don't see the miracles and we don't see the ministry of Christ exploding until the Holy Spirit shows up in his life. And he's not a dove. He just came like a dove. All right. But he came and he remained on him. And now Jesus is saying he wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to come and he wants to be involved and he's going to come and he's going to rest on you. And he's going to be a part of your life. Why? Because God wants to anoint you and me with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can go about doing good and that we can heal people that are oppressed by the devil, because God's with us, because we have some sauce in our life. All right? We need the Holy Spirit, number one, to anoint us. We need the Holy Spirit to anoint us. I'm going to run through a couple of thoughts, and we're going to close with this. I love this, Luke 4:18. I just gave reference to it. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus is talking, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of God's favor. He said all of these things, the proclamation, the preaching, the healing, all these, he said, but it all started with what? The Holy Spirit has anointed me. The Lord has anointed me to do these things. How do we do the things that Jesus said that we need to be doing? We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our life. The anointing is the enabling power of the Lord. God showed us patterns of that in the Old Testament. Kings were anointed. Prophets were anointed. Anytime there was an assignment, there was some type of elevation, there was something that God needed people to do, he showed a pattern. He said, I want you to anoint them with oil. I want you to pour oil, and it's going to be a representation of my calling and my help and my grace upon their life to do the things that I've called them to do. How many of you know that you can get the assignment and you can get the calling from God in your heart and know what it is that I'm supposed to do, but we will live frustrated without the help of the Holy Spirit? Trying to operate in the calling and the assignment without the aid of the Holy Spirit, it is frustrating and it is tiring, and there's no power and there's no wisdom and there's no grace on it. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to anoint me. Now, here's the thing. We think, you know, these ministry gifts out doing all these things. You know what? I need his anointing in my home because I've got an assignment that's greater than the pulpit. And it's a father and it's a husband. And it's a part of the community. It's a football coach. It's a whatever. It's a friend. And I need his anointing on my life to do anything if I want God to be involved. Now, I can do it in my own ability, and I can use my charisma, and I can use my own giftings, and I can work some things up, and it may produce a little bit, but nothing takes the place of the anointing. The anointing, according to Isaiah, is the burden-moving, yoke-destroying power of God. It is the destroyer of the works of darkness. It is the presence of God upon our life that gives us the ability to do some things that ordinarily we just wouldn't be able to do. And the anointing is not for selfish gain. The anointing is not about showmanship. It's not the showly ghost. I stole that one from Brandon Mitchell. I got to go give him credit. One time. Brandon, you listen. One time. You get credit one time. I'm just kidding. How many of you know it's not about showmanship? Matter of fact, it's not about our personality. It is to give glory to God. Man, I could go a whole different place here, but I don't have time to do that. But we mess up whenever we get infatuated with the fragrance of the anointing and all the gain that we get out of it, and we turn it upon our own self. We build empires instead of the kingdom, and we get our personality in the middle of it, and that's how you mess with fire. We don't have an anointing problem in the church, a lack of. We've got a problem with personality, people wanting all the credit for what God's doing. And I just want you to know, whenever we turn glory back to him and we move personalities out of the way, the Holy Spirit has more freedom to move. We got to make room for him. We've filled all the space with our egos and pride and all of our comfort and everything. We got to make room for the Holy Spirit to move. And when we do that, then we see there's an enabling that comes on our life to do some things we couldn't ordinarily do. He guides us. We've seen that. He's a guide of all truth. Jesus needed him to help guide him. Luke 4:1, right after he was water baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and he left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tested for 40 days. How many of you know we need the help of the Holy Spirit? But when the Holy Spirit leads us, right? He's not just leading us into gardens of roses. He also will lead us into places of wilderness, but we need the help of the Holy Spirit and we need his guidance and his leading. Here's the thing. Don't you wish that there was a page in the Bible dedicated just to your life? Right? Had the person you're going to marry in there, right? right? The book of J.D., right? It's in there, right? Sounds full of lots of great information and wonderful things. But every time you had a need, you could just go flip and go, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? So here's this idea. I know God's word is perfect, and we believe that somehow the Holy Spirit has quit moving and guiding and directing because we've got the word of God. But how many of you don't have to live long to know that I'm still going to find some situations in my life I need his help, and the Holy Spirit is there and present to speak to my heart and to lead and to nudge and to guide and to bring peace and to bring provision and to help get me to places. And I don't have time to go to the scriptures in the early church where God showed up and gave them specific direction through visions and through dreams and through speaking to their hearts about things. It's available for all of us with the help of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. You don't have to live in anxiety over every situation. He will speak and guide us. And the last thing is he empowers us. He anoints us, he guides us, and he empowers us. And I feel like we've said a lot about this already, but in Luke 4:14, Jesus returned. After the wilderness, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Why? Because he was saucy. Because there was something different when he had the Holy Spirit come upon his life and he went into the wilderness and he came back. He returned a different person, so to speak, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what God's called him to do. I don't know how any of us would not want that type of ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. And there will be people that will still resist because of the things that people have made weird about him. But I just want you to know, listen, first thing is God should be a little weird to you. I just want to say that again. There ought to be a little weirdness that happens in our life in following God. Someone that big, someone that exists out of time and space in our moment, that is wanting to show up in our life and do extraordinary things, there ought to be some moments that we go, huh, I've never seen that before. And I just can't wrap my mind around. The scary part is when you think you've got him figured out, you haven't. You've just made him as small as your mind. And maybe for some of y'all, that's really big. For me, it's really small. Like, I've made him really small. I need him to exist outside of that, my own understanding. The second thing is that we've experienced some things based on people being weird, not him. But it doesn't mean it's not true. People get weird with all kinds of stuff. People are just, we say weird, there's just different people, personalities, and people that have different expressions. But we can't just throw things out because I don't really like that. Listen, it doesn't negate the truth of what God's doing and speaking and operating in. Has there been error? Has there been some things? Absolutely. But there has been with everything. Right? We need to open our hearts and minds back up. And I'm just telling you, I'm hoping that even today that you'll just say, I need the help of the Holy Spirit. Right? Maybe in my life, I'm born again, but the reason why I haven't really broken through into some areas and really felt his grace operating in my life, like I hadn't felt very saucy. It's been kind of bland. Life is just kind of dry. Well, maybe it's because you haven't welcomed the help of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're like that group that got the word of God in Samaria and have seen great things happen, and you know you're saved, but you need a Peter and John type of experience, somebody to come and say, hey, but I want you to know that there's more. The Holy Spirit wants to come on your life and do some amazing things in your life. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to get more connected, text NEXT to 62488 or go to our website, mylwc.church. We hope that you have an amazing rest of the week.